Welcome to The Pragmatic Pagan. Here we explore an inclusive pagan path via science-based witchcraft, no deities included. With a focus on nature and energy, this spiritual practice is centered on lunar tides and seasonal cycles. Check the link tree in the bio for lots of great resources. Merry meet all. This podcast is recorded on the homeland of the Duwamish people, and more broadly, the Coast Salish people, as well as many other indigenous tribes that make their home here in the Pacific Northwest of America, past, present, and future. As a spiritual being and steward of this land that I call home, I feel honored with the responsibility of caring for this piece of our planet. Please take a moment to join me in honoring the original stewards of the land on which you are residing, and a moment of gratitude for the earth itself and the bounty it provides. Please join me in words that work for you. To the ancestors that hold this ground, and for those spirits yet to come, may you fill me with guidance as I learn my place as a steward of this land and its creatures. In the gift of this role, I hold gratitude for all that surrounds me, for the water which cleanses me, for the earth's fruit which nourishes me, for the air that breathes life, for the fire that warms as it burns, and for the divine cosmos within. I am a child of the universe, at one with the trees and the stars. May the tides of the moon fill me with silver and the sunbeams tint me in gold. From light to dark, from birth to death, spring to winter, new moon to full, and back again. It is a beautiful world, one worth protecting. This I will. As within, so without. As above, so below. As I am, so mote it be. The Pragmatic Pagan participates in Real Rent Duwamish as a way to compensate for the land that was stolen through violence and broken land treaties. I encourage you to look into and participate in Real Rent programs that support Indigenous communities in your area. I also encourage you to take an active stance in environmental issues, both at home and worldwide. Our planet needs its stewards, now more than ever. It can be as simple as picking up trash in your neighborhood, using less water, and buying local goods. Check out the link tree in the bio for more great ways to connect with our planet and give back. Merry meet. This episode has come highly requested from listeners, and given the combative energy of our world today, it comes as no surprise to me that we could all use a little more energetic shielding in our lives. In this episode, we will dig into the practical steps of how to do this visualization, including a more permanent shield for homes and cars. But don't stop listening there, though. The next episode is a guided shielding meditation that takes you through the process I use for my shields. So, what are shields? Well, shielding is the idea that we can create an energetic barrier between us and the world around us. As we get better at this barrier, we can call it on a whim, and it can remain even when we aren't thinking about it. Learning to grow, shrink, and filter are all part of learning how to work with your own shield. You might be asking, is this your aura or your personal electromagnetic field? Yes, and your aura is actually made of lots of layers. The shield is about learning to strengthen that outer shell, kind of like an eggshell. Using that same analogy, we can learn to filter by adjusting how dense that outer layer of electrons is, essentially how fast they are moving, at what vibration. By adjusting that, we adjust what we let in energetically. That's the basic premise of a shield and filtering. Quick pause here to warn about some of the downsides of shielding. It is possible to create shields that damage you energetically in the long run. If your shields never let anything in, your energy never gets recycled or replenished. It also has the potential to create an echo chamber where we never hear feedback. In that echo chamber, we are prone to bypassing and gaslighting ourselves and others. So while shields can be very helpful, they can also be harmful. Like all things in witchcraft, everything comes with a price, and that price is usually learning how to walk a very thin edge between helpful and hurtful, between love and light and the deep, deep dark. I will say this more than once, I'm sure, but this isn't about living in a shield. This is about having that tool when you need it. Now, for those of you starting out in energy work, this might sound really daunting. However, remember, your energy goes where your thoughts go, so it's not as hard as one might think. Stick with me. The goal of shielding is to envision and build an energy sphere that surrounds us. That energy sphere is our own innate energy that we learn to create a shield out of. Just like any new skill, it's best to practice in a training environment before test driving in the real world. In this case, the training environment is a meditation. I recommend practicing this meditation as often as you can. It doesn't have to be a long meditation, 2 to 3 minutes tops. The key is frequency at first. Then, if you can, start to shift to duration. A good long-time goal is a sustained meditation of about 15 minutes. More is good too. When we practice like this, it helps us to create a subconscious state that we can easily leave active when we're not paying full attention. Now that you have a sense of what a shield consists of and its general practice, let's break it down a bit more into the aspects of shields. I like to think of shields having 5 properties: density, intensity, space, frequency, duration. Density is how thick or thin an energy shield is. The denser a shield is, the harder it is for things to get through. It's trickier to navigate and may take more time exposure to that person or energy for it to get past the shield. This might manifest as a single ring of trees versus a forest, or a tiny stream versus a deep river. So what might be rocky cliffs turns into more of a protective canopy. A tornado of wind might downshift into a breeze shield, depending on the needs and current energy level. Find where you are at each day, knowing that it will likely change each time you create the shield. It's okay. All of those forms of the element are true. Each day, we all show up in different ways. Why would the elements be any different? Intensity is how fast the electrons within that shield are moving. Are they excited and there's a lot of energy in that shield? Keep in mind that this control mechanism requires more energy to sustain, so if you are running lower on energy, consider adjusting density first. Intensity might show up as slow-moving stream versus a fast river, a gentle breeze versus a cutting wind. Space is the distance of the shield from your body. It essentially defines the reaches of your personal bubble or personal space. During the meditation, it is good to practice expanding and contracting your energy sphere. When we are around a lot of other people, an expanded shield will start to pick up and react to a lot of different people. However, we can contract that so that we are only allowing in energy from those more physically close to us. Be careful, if you pull in too closely, only those most deeply intimate with your body will be able to energetically get through. This creates a space that closes us off from connection. Be mindful of this and keep your shields lowered or at a healthy distance to allow for balance. Frequency. This really speaks to the amount of time you practice and use this technique. If you don't practice and use it with frequency, it will weaken over time. You have to put energy into it by paying attention to it. It doesn't have to be a lot, and you may find that different times, like holiday times, tend to really put a heavy drain on things, and you may need to direct more energy and more thought to them than usual. Duration. This is again, how long are you able to sustain your shields or meditation? When you first start, it can be very hard to maintain your shield for any length of time. And you may actually feel more drained afterwards, which creates the opposite effect of what you're aiming for. Best analogy here is that it's like exercise or weightlifting. If you try to aim too far above your current abilities, you will likely be hurting the next day. This is why we practice so that we can gradually increase over time and letting our abilities increase with that. I recommend starting with frequency and not duration. Duration often comes with time. With those five aspects in mind, I often recommend that a good starting point might be a medium density focus that you practice 3 times a day. Keep the intensity mild at first and increase density if you need more space. And try for short bursts of 2 to 3 minutes of sustained practice. This isn't about living in a shield. It's about having it as a tool when you need it. Of note, you might find that when you are sick or particularly burned out, shields are hard to maintain. That's a sign that you need to reconnect energetically with a lunar cycle recharge. And yes, it takes a full turn of tuning into the moon and pairing your activity with it, which includes the releasing and resting phases. We often focus strictly on the manifesting and production phases of the lunar cycle and neglect the others. You need the full thing to feel that recharge. Sometimes, more than once. As I mentioned before, shielding is about manifesting our energy into a sphere that surrounds our body, one that provides an extra layer of energetic filtering between us and the outside world. However, this energy already surrounds us and exists, and we often feel others' energy much more easily than we feel our own. As we talked about, the aspect of space in shields is the ability to expand and contract that sphere of energy. To do that, it's about drawing that energy closer to the body or extending it beyond the usual 24 to 36 inches that most people usually live in, although that's truly up to the human. Some people live with their energy very close to their bodies. Others project widely. See if you can notice this about others and yourself. Do they project widely or hold more closely? And it's not an always thing either. We might hold our energy more closely to our bodies at work where we feel less safe. And then when we get home, we may let that energy loosen and distance more. Maybe not. Maybe it's the other way around. Spend some time with sensing these energy auras as it will help you learn more about yours. Once you're comfortable working with your own soul energy, we're going to expand on the sphere visualization from before. Now we're going to add another layer, this time in the form of an element. The order of the elements is a personal preference. You may find that some elements are easier to visualize and work up to than others. This is all about your connection to those elements and the internal balance that you create. I like to place these elemental shields just underneath, inside, my main energy eggshell. Some folks will also choose to put the elemental shields outside their main energy aura, which is just a personal preference. I find that having them inside creates a better sense of balance and less need for personal recharge. This is up to you. Adding the elements does require just a little bit more energy to create these shields initially, since you are sustaining more layers. But once you get used to shielding, you will notice its energy toll less and less. It's a bit like working out with weights. You build up strength over time, which is also why you might want to take it slow, starting with just an energy shield, then adding an element per week. Now, whether just inside or outside of your energy shield, the order of elements is truly up to you. I like to make air the barrier closest to me because it helps me create a sense of space between me and the world. I also put earth as the outermost layer so that I can use it to reinforce my outer eggshell. This lets me use my outer shield as a detection layer instead of a shielding layer. But that is a higher level technique for another conversation, and I use that to develop and embrace certain aspects of my personal spiritual journey. Find an order that works for you. This is about your personal connection with each element and its role in your life. Now that you get a sense of what they are, let's talk about how to add in elemental shields. For those that are fans of Avatar: The Last Airbender cartoon, this is going to sound very familiar. And that's because this technique is essentially a bit Avatar. Okay, let's dig into those elemental shields a bit more so that the meditation in the following episode can focus more on the actual visualization. As I talk through each element, consider how each might manifest in a calmer, less dead state and a higher, more active state that is unique for you. Let your instincts speak first, but if nothing comes, it's definitely okay to think on it. And no matter what, you may find that the elements start to manifest differently over time. Allow that to happen. Things can and should evolve. When you begin, our instinct is to do all the layers right away. And you definitely can, but also consider that the more time you spend working with the shield of each element, the stronger each barrier becomes and the more control you have over it. This is where you will really begin to feel which elements are inherently stronger or easier to tap into for you. That doesn't mean you shy away from the less accessible ones. It just means you will need to work harder to master that shield. A great way to find balance between these approaches is to practice for 10 minutes where your first 5 minutes is focusing on one particular element, rotate with one each day, and the second half of the visualization can be about layering shields or just working on your personal energy field. Find a combination that makes sense to you and stick with it. Consistency is key here. Now I'm going to talk through the general idea for the visualization of each element. This is like an overview and should then be applied to an actual meditation practice, whether you use mine or you create your own. I will remind you to practice with density, essentially how thick and thin the shield is, intensity, how fast, slow the electrons are moving within, space, expanding and contracting the distance within the shield from your body, frequency, how often you apply it, and duration, for how long you sustain it. So, starting with the outermost layer, which for me is earth, here I most commonly use a canopy of woven branches and vines with spaces of leaves to peek through, a bit of a secondary filter. At other times, it might be high cliffs or stone walls. It depends on how much and of what I want to let through. Earth for me helps to separate important from not important. Consider earth for yourself. How does it show up for you? Build and hold that for 1 to 2 minutes. Practice it with density, intensity, space, frequency, and duration. For my next layer, I add water, envisioning water surrounding me in a circular, all-encompassing sort of way. It can be a river that runs around, a tsunami of water, a circle of waterfalls, swirls of water that weave around. Make this visualization yours. For me, water cleanses energy for truth, to reveal what lies beneath. Consider water for yourself. How does it show up for you? Build and hold that visualization for 1 to 2 minutes. Practice with density, intensity, space, frequency, and duration. For fire, on the everyday, I like to consider a softer intensity, something that reveals shadows. So for this, I usually choose a ring of soft candlelight. But when I need to burn away bullshit, that might transform into more of a raging ring of fire that surrounds me and cleanses any of that away. Fire is a place of humanity and personal truths. For me, it asks me to consider what other forces might be in play. Consider fire for yourself. How does it show up for you? Build and hold that visualization for 1 to 2 minutes. Practice with density, intensity, space, frequency, and duration. Air. Building out from the body, but still inside the energy shields, I create a swirling ball of air that surrounds me, creating space, inflating the shield. The air moves around and you can add sparkle or feathers or leaves or anything that blows in the wind of this spiral if it helps you to visualize it. But truly focus on the air and the movement itself. It can be any speed, maybe more of a breeze or a gusty wind, a razor sharp tornado. For me, air is a place of joy and kindness, so I like to add a little sparkle. By using my lash shield this way, it helps me to approach energy with the best intention in mind. This is especially helpful since my inner self tends to be heavier, darker. Again, this is about balance. Consider air for yourself. How does it show up for you? Build and hold that visualization for 1 to 2 minutes. Practice with density, intensity, space, frequency, and duration. Earth, fire, water, air, the ways these elements show up and change over time is a reflection of our journey. Allow that change. Learn to lean into it. Be curious and ask questions about those changes in yourself. And mostly, I always recommend striving for balance. Light and dark, good and bad, these are shades on a gradient rainbow. Be the rainbow. Be sure to tune into the next episode for a full shielding meditation that applies what I just talked through. For now, I want to share a bit more about shielding, specifically how to use keywords and how to shield for cars and homes, as well as more permanent setups. This generally involves a few higher level practices, anchoring and what I like to call keywording. Anchors are items that hold the shielding energy in place. Crystals are a very common source for anchors, but truly you could use anything. Things you have emotional ties to tend to be particularly potent and easy to tune into. In this case, you are going to adjust the visualization so that the energy sphere radiates from this object and will protect whatever is inside that sphere, no matter where you place the object. Keywording is literally using a word as a key to unlock a trained state of presence. To do this, you would pick a word or small phrase to tie into your shielding practice. As you meditate, you might repeat the word, look at the word, or simply state it at the beginning to trigger the practice. Much like all things Pavlov, we know that we can train our brains to react to certain sounds and phrases. In this case, we are teaching ourselves to enact our shields when we say this keyword. I find this practice particularly helpful, although it does take some time to see success. A couple of personal value notes. In my practice, I believe it is totally okay to give a charge shield anchor to somebody, but make sure you tell them what it is. If they can help feed it, it will be more potent. Also, involving people in spellcraft without their knowledge is a fine line. Pick carefully. Personally, I believe in consent culture, and this goes for energy too. As I mentioned before, with anchoring, crystals are a popular choice. However, in our modern world, many of the crystals up for sale originate in ways that damage the environment, are unethical, unfair, or unsafe. Because of this, I really try to refrain from encouraging using crystals. Anchors are often more potent when the object is more personal anyway. A lot of witches hang brooms near or on their doors to protect their home. These can double as great anchors. When it comes to shielding other items, it is exactly like shielding yourself, only the visualization is done with the item in mind. So you are visualizing the energy sphere around your car or your home, and then adding in those elemental layers. Being present in your car or home while you do your visualization sequence also helps to make shields more permanent and I think a little easier to maintain. I like to tie my shields to an anchor. Shielding is a great way to practice some of the fundamentals of spellcraft and energy work. Consider how you might tie renewing your shields into other routines of self and home care, like when you shower or clean the house. These things tend to go energetically hand in hand. I want to take a moment to talk about visualization. There is a lot of new conversation out there that indicates that being able to build visualized images in your head is only something that about half the population can actually do. With this in mind, one of the witches I am working with has been telling me that they struggle a lot with visualizations because they are just thinking about the images, not seeing them. I ask, what's the difference? In these cases, worry less about finding perfection in the visualization process. This may mean that you look back on how your imagination showed up in your childhood. Some kids heard melodies or words forming, others images or structures, some see mathematical equations. Consider how imagination showed up for you as a kid and how you might use that to bridge any issues with visualizations that you may have now. Hope this helps. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Pragmatic Pagan. Find this podcast helpful? Then please consider sharing this resource with others. As always, please reach out with any questions or stories you are willing to share, and stay connected by joining me on Patreon or on social media. Links are in the bio. Oh, and don't forget, by following me for free on Patreon, you get access to podcast transcripts and other great free content. Thank you for listening. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, until we merry meet again.